The WIB Wake Up Show, and no Jason Cans today. Unfortunately, the doc is under the weather. Got a message from him about that last night. We did get a nice message from a listener yesterday after we had shared here on the best 5 minutes of the day. She said, I just would like to say thank you. Today's message, which was yesterday's, with you and Jason, was exactly what I needed to hear as I was driving to work. I don't know if I should share the rest. But anyhow, leaving it there. And so, good. Encouraging to get that. So, anyhow, pray for Jason, as hopefully he can be back with us tomorrow or sometime soon. Because, really, what we tried to do, you know, we used to do a devotion at this time, and that's still possible, and we do devotions at different times. But what we had in mind is we're both, you've probably guessed, big Larry Crabb fans. Wow, it'll be 2 years, the end of February, since he went to be with the Lord. But his ministry continues. His son has a ministry called The Larger Story. And for Advent, they talk about from creation to coming. And they talk about living in the context of the larger story from, you know, Jesus' death and resurrection to his coming. Keeping that in mind, don't just think of your life in terms of your part. I mean, we all play a bit part in God's great and grand story, but obviously Jesus is the central figure. And so, anyhow, relationship, though. I mean, in relationship, it starts off in the Trinity, that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, we have a relational God, right? The book Delighting in the Trinity says God is love because God is Trinity. And so, what is different about the Christian God and the Muslim God? I mean, one of the big differences is the idea of our God is triune. And it probably gets underrepresented. We just don't, do we really, we should talk about it every week at church. It should be somewhere in the service. And so anyhow, for relationship, we bring that out here. And so what we've tried to bring you is kind of consecrated devotion, consecrated relational devotion. A couple of guys, a couple of brothers from another mother getting together, talking on the radio, sharing, being real, being honest, being open, and loving each other, and then sharing whatever comes up, and that's the fun of morning radio. As we say, the whole goal of the WIB Wake Up Show is truth wrapped in fun, and we try to get, you never know what topics you're going to hear us talk about. Caleb and I, same deal for sure. And then wrapping it up with the way it's kind of developed is diving into God's Word. And then closing out from Jason's devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved. And in that regard, today we are up to Romans 12, 15 and 16. So I like to go to the New Living Translation. And so we'll start with that, Romans 12, 15 and 16 today. And here we go. It says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. So in Letters to the Beloved, am I on the right verse? All right, verse 15 at least says, be eager to join people right where they are. If they're celebrating, do not warn them about excessive happiness. Rejoice with them. When they're mourning, suffer with them. I never intended people to be emotionless, but heartful. Verse 16, a little longer in the devotional commentary, goes like this. Live in harmony with one another. Harmony is not monotony, nor is it cacophony. Tough word. It is not just one melodic line, but many notes that mix uniquely to produce a wondrous tune. Heaven itself is a Trinitarian symphony. Love that. Do not consider yourself to be better than others. Pride kills. Go out of your way to spend time with those who are lower in status and spirit. Encourage everyone you encounter. Finally, do not be especially fond of your own wisdom and insight. I've given you the ability to think, reason, and feel, but if you act as though you're some sort of sage, you've left me behind and are traveling a dangerous path. Ah, yes, that calls to mind. Pride comes before the fall. There we go. Romans 12, 15, and 16 from the New Living Translation and Letters to the Beloved. Keep it in mind as a Christmas present, or maybe even ask for it as a gift. A number of you have told me you have got your copy and like to follow along or read it at your own pace. Our promise of the day is 1 Kings 8:56. Wow, you had to dig this one up. Every word of every promise that I have made will come to pass. I like it. So good it's worth repeating. Every word of every promise that I have made will come to pass. 1 Kings 8:56. You want to read the devotion on that? It's not long. I can do it real quick. God is not a man that he should lie. Every promise that he has made will come to pass because he's faithful to do all that he has said that he will do. In a world of broken promises and disappointing authority figures, it's easy to become cynical and mistrusting, Barry Adams writes. Our negative life experiences with people can cause us to mistrust God in the same way. In today's promise, we're reminded that God keeps his promises, all of them. We may not understand his ways at times, but he's always true to his word. Trust is a huge part of the foundation of our faith. We struggle to trust him. We'll struggle to believe what he says is true. Well, Barry says, my prayer today is that God will restore childlike trust to each of our hearts in increasing measure so that we will have every confidence that every promise that our papa makes will come to pass. That's pretty helpful. Thank you, Barry Adams from 365promises.com. 1 Kings 8:56, every word of every promise that I've made will come to pass. Well, it's the new book from Elisa Morgan, Christmas Changes Everything, How the Birth of Jesus Brings Hope to the World. We've given away a couple of copies the last 2 weeks in Tuesday Trivia. And unpacking that conversation, we start with, obviously, the very significant character of Mary in the Christmas story.
I've always loved Christmas. I mean, I'm cray-cray about it. I have been since I was a little girl. I love Santa and stockings and cranberry bread and turkey and all the trimmings, you know, all that fun stuff. But, you know, when Christmas really becomes Christmas, when you get the meaning of the gospel, of God loving us so much that he would squish himself into a woman's womb and out into the world, whoa. And then when Easter becomes Easter, you understand the meaning of his sacrifice for us. So I'm back up and look at it from that perspective. And when Christmas became Christmas for me, it did change everything. It changed how I viewed the world, how I viewed my life, how I viewed my relationships, my purpose, etc. There are 9 characters in the Christmas story in Scripture, and I just had such a powerful time looking at each one of them and how the arrival of Jesus, Christmas, changed them.
Yeah, and obviously, I mean, Mary's at the top of the list, understandably.
Yeah, and, you know, she's a phenomenal character, you know, probably the most influential woman of all time, and probably the woman that was written about as well in Scripture. You know, here she is, this 12, 13-year-old little girl, a virgin, betrothed, and an angel appears to her and calls her highly favored, and she truly was a devout Jewess for her time, and she responds with just this ready acceptance of the invitation to bear the Son of God in her womb. It's amazing. I mean, she's confused and she's a little perplexed about how this is going to happen, and she asks a lot of questions, but she has this immediate acceptance. And, you know, I just stewed on how in the world could she do that? But you look through the rest of the story of her, you have the telling of her story, like in chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke, and you see twice in verse 19 and verse 51, you see 2 times her responding with this phrase of she treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. And that word treasure means to store up. And ponder means to lay alongside. It's the same Greek root as the word dialogue, you know, where you converse together. And I just picture her kind of like stringing these understandings together on a string, like beads on a string. It's like she said kind of a layered yes to God. Yes, I'll bear Jesus. Yes, I'll marry Joseph. Yes, I will have this baby born. And yes, I'll raise him. Yes, I'll let him go to the temple and I'll search for him. And yes, I'll stand before him at the cross. And I'll be there when he rises. And, you know, I don't think she understood all of it at once. But we can respond to Christmas in the same way by accepting God's invitation, you know, to dwell in us as well.
It's a Win It Wednesday, and you never know what game we're going to play, right?
Today, we've got a game that we haven't played for a few weeks, but it's an oldie but a goodie, a familiar one for many of you, 715-723-2555.
Higher, lower. And the question is, how many real Christmas trees are there currently growing in the U.S.?
715-723-2555. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention that, yeah, there's a prize involved because it's Win It Wednesday. How about 2 passes, each for 18 holes of Blacklight Mini Golf at Endgame Mini Golf in Rice Lake? What a great winter activity. I have been there. I have done it. It's colorful. It's wonderful. A lot of fun. I did it with my son and my little brother, Will, and my nephew, AJ. We all had a great time. So 715-723-2555 for 2 Endgame Mini Golf passes.
To say you're not alone, our winner yesterday from Rice Lake, she sounded like a big fan of Endgame Mini Golf.
It really is. It's a great family activity. So, 715-723-2555. The question one more time?
Yeah, the question is, how many real Christmas trees are currently growing in the U.S.?
All right, and no penalty for wrong answers with this game as well. Good morning, WWIB. What do you think? How many real Christmas trees are currently growing in the great United States?
I'm going to say about a million.
A million.
But that's a lot, isn't it?
It's a lot.
But it's way more than that.
It's way more than that. Call us back. All right, so we've got our ceiling, or excuse me, we've got our floor, our basement. It's well over a million real Christmas trees currently growing.
Higher or lower?
Good morning. Higher than a million. What do you think?
12 million.
12 million.
That's a lot, Oliver. That's 12 times as many as she guessed and still way low.
All right, not 12 million. Higher than 12 million. Good morning. How many real Christmas trees currently growing in the United States?
350 million.
350 million. You got it right on the dot. Third
she
caller.
Looked it up.
Great job. Hey, what's your name? Where you're calling from?
Pam from Thorpe.
Pam from Thorpe. We're going to send you to play some mini golf in the warmth of the Cedar Mall and Rice Lake at Endgame. How about that?
That's awesome.
And, man, I mean, that's more Christmas trees than people in the United States right now, right?
Right, yeah. Slightly more. Pam, did you see me as I waved when I drove by Thorpe last night, or were you sleeping already?
I live north of Thorpe.
Okay. So. It was probably pretty late when I was coming by. Pam, hang on the line for us. We'll get a bit more information from you and get you to Endgame Mini Golf inside the Cedar Mall in Rice Lake to play two rounds of 18 holes of Blacklight Mini Golf.
WWIB, well, are you really listening? Chalk it up to short attention spans, instantaneous everything, and ultra-busy lives, but we just don't have time to listen anymore. You know, one of the great listening verses and encouragements in Scripture from James 1:19, be quick to listen. You got, go ahead now. You got two ears. Pull on them. Come on now. Unless you're driving. slow to speak. And slow to become angry. Well, that's good advice every day, Caleb.
We've got more here when it comes to listening and how to be a good listener. Uh-huh. How to be a good listener. For instance, listen with your whole self. So block out all other distractions. Show your listening with good eye contact and encouraging nod and by not tapping your fingers or feet. That doesn't work so well for people with ADD like me. But, you know, I'll talk with my hands at least.
I like that first sentence there. Listen with your whole self. Right? That really kind of grabs me.
And it's not others' focus, isn't it? So it's saying, hey, you are important. What you have to say is important. And you know what? Practice if you have... with your spouse, of course. But if you have young children, I think it's really easy. It's like, oh, yeah. But what they're telling you is the most important thing in the world to them, too. Uh-huh. I mean, so when I come home yesterday and Cooper's like, Dad, and wanted to show me how much he was beating his opponent by in backyard football on the Wii, that was incredibly important to him. And so it's others, right?
Yeah, that's really good. And think about how good you feel when you can tell somebody is fully listening to you. Return the favor. When the conversational ball bounces into your corner, don't feel you've got to hang on to it. Bounce it back. A good listener has the ability to make the person speaking feel like the most important person on earth.
I love that. A couple more here. Are you really listening? Help draw the other person out by posing brief comments or questions that show you're really listening. But again, you post that question or comment and then move out of the way and let them continue. Bounce the ball back.
Yeah, develop a sensitivity for what's left unsaid in most messages, the inner thoughts that words often hide. Yeah, ask a follow-up question. You know, that shows you are really listening.
Also, listen without being judgmental. By handing down judgments instead of listening, we're effectively cutting off all lines of communication. So just listen.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And again, our founder, Warren Stewart, I still remember doing the tribute show we did to him back in the mid-90s. And your predecessor as sales manager, Greg Smith, said about Warren, when you talked to him, you felt like the most important person on earth. You couldn't pay a higher compliment.
Yeah, that's a legacy. That's a legacy. Be a good listener today. And you know what? We sure appreciate you listening to WWIB as well.
Well, it turns out pretzels are popping these days, Caleb.
I just bought some, in fact, two different flavors from the grocery store yesterday night, the regular and the bold and zesty.
Huh, interesting. There's so many different ways you can go with pretzels, but given their lack of powdered cheese dust and audacious flavors, pretzels had long been considered the boring part of the snack business, but no longer is the pretzels category is really popping right now.
Yeah, pretzel sales, if you were interested. But hey, this is water cooler stuff. They were up 16.2% in sales in the last 52 weeks. Again, this period ended August 7th, if you really want the details. $1.7 billion.
Yeah, the Snyder's of Hanover remains the leader in the category. Those are very good.
Those are delicious.
With $566 million in sales over that period. This is like a business meeting. But newcomers to the snack business are the ones to watch.
Yes, Dots Homestyle Pretzels. Have you had those?
I'm not sure.
They are so, so good. Not cheap. Which is probably what added to the $1.7 billion. But delicious, delicious. They have them at a lot of, actually a lot of like, well, grocery stores, but also sometimes hardware stores and things like that have them as well. The Dots pretzels, super good.
They were bought by Hershey for $1.2 billion last year, and they've seen sales jump 60% over the period. So, you know, you get talking about pretzels. You know what are really great is the peanut butter inside of these little pretzels.
Yes.
Those are great.
I think Lindsay and the kids gave me some of those for Christmas last year.
Peanut butter filled pretzels.
Yeah, fantastic.
Nice.
And I do believe that Lindsay's planning to do some of those pretzel rods where you like roll them in the white candy coating and then sprinkles. And so, yeah, those are delicious. Pretzels
I came
are great.
Home to find some of those on a plate just this weekend.
Yeah. There you go. Lots of different ways to enjoy pretzels, and you can just add to the growing success of the industry.
Yes. All right, WWIB, the WIB wake-up show, and you never know what we're going to cover here, everything from soup to nuts. The U.S. Air Force is about to unveil the most advanced military aircraft ever built.
Now, this is something else. This is something else. They've spent nearly $203 billion on this program developing this. It's called the B-21 Raider Stealth Bomber.
It'll be unveiled at the Northrop Grumman facility in Palmdale, California on Friday.
Probably better weather there than here.
Yeah, the bomber was designed to carry out long-range bombing and nuclear missions employing cutting-edge stealth technology.
Now, currently they're building six of them. Cost is about $2 billion per aircraft. They're expected to be flying next year. But you won't see them because stealth.
Yeah. The advanced aircraft was named after the Doolittle Raiders, a team of B-21 bomber crewmen from World War II known for their daring and bravery.
I have never heard of the Doolittle Raiders, but now I want to find a book. There's got to be someone who's written a history of that. Huh.
Couldn't they have shared a little bit of that money for Feed My People or something? Wow, that's a big price tag, isn't it?
That is. Hopefully it's a very effective tool that keeps our men and women in uniform safe. But, wow, $2 billion per aircraft.
Wow.
Not cheap.